Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, I don't know, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, you probably shouldn't listen to the first 30 minutes. But
salty Fred.
No, the public was salty.
That's true.
And
public was whiny.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So we just turned it into bad job sex stories and rodents. Brother Bear said, "My line," and the textures have redeemed themselves, by the way, with this latest topic. Brother Bear says, "My line of work, I've had to transport all sorts of diseases, Zika, AIDS, hepatitis, even Ebola, when the state trooper had to follow me from pickup location to the lab to ensure the public safety. It was considered a biological weapon. I'm against diseases." So what if we fill an active volcano with flea powder to combat this? Not a bad suggestion. 409 says it would only take a short wall to keep out the fleas. I don't know. Those things can jump pretty high.
Yeah, they're jumpers.
Yeah. And Planet of the Prairie Dogs, starring Rosie O'Donnell and Charlie Sheen. Perfect. And on the Flat Earth and Bubonic Plague, 832 says, just left the doctor with a foot injury, gave me four shots of whiskey, and poured the rest on my foot before taking a bone saw to it, said I had gangrene.
Boy.
Yeah, we were just,
Sometimes when I am doing show prep, I like to read, do you remember like Dear Abby articles, like where people write in and ask advice?
Yeah.
Sometimes I scan those to see if there's anything funny going on. And I found one this morning I wanted to share with you, Fred.
Okay.
And I want to see what advice you would give. In this particular advice column, it's to a lady named Prudence. Dear Prudence, my boyfriend of 10 years recently proposed. I accepted, but I don't think I should have. He's my best friend and I love him, but he's very uninhibited. He's into every type of fetish or, quote, odd sexual behavior there is. Exhibitionism and voyeurism, homemade porn, BDSM, urine / scat. I don't even know what that means. Blood orgies, just to name a few.
Blood orgies?
No, there's a comma.
Oh.
But he's into blood, he's into orgies.
Okay.
He wears high heels everywhere unless it's impractical or not allowed. I feel like it's always impractical. Like, I can't think of a situation where it's practical for me to wear high heels.
Women don't even like high
heels. No, because it's impractical. I am very vanilla, which I quickly realized after trying to participate in his sexual adventures, including exploring his bi curiosity. Outside of that, we get along well, which is why we've been together so long. Do you think it's okay to ask him to turn it down? I still feel guilty because when we met, he was in an open relationship, but he cut it off to be exclusively with me. Signed, inhibited. What advice would you give, Fred?
You've been with this dude for 10 years,
yeah,
and you're just now complaining about it because you're going to get married? I think if you're with somebody for 10 years and you're not married, there's no reason to get married.
I'm kind of with you, and if you, like, if there's that much about the person that you don't accept, and I'm not saying it's your fault because...
What the hell are you doing with him for 10 years?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
This is a question you should have asked after year one.
That would scare me off. John, did you look up scat to see what that is?
No.
Never mind, I'll do it. I'll do everything around here. Let's see. Scat. Have you ever heard of that, Fred?
No. I'm sure Beth knows all about it. She could tell us.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Now. Okay, so I don't want to look this up, right?
Remember what we were talking about earlier, and you said I'm into it?
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those.
But it's also... Okay, let's cut the music. It's also about something else that I'm really into, but it's combining them, which I'm against. Like, sometimes I like to talk about poop. Often I like to eat.
Oh, just stop. Stop.
You shouldn't marry this guy.
No, you shouldn't have been with him for 10 years.
I would have broke up with him as soon as that came into play. Like, the minute that came into play, I'd break up with that guy.
Yeah.
Prudence.
Yeah, what was Prudence's advice?
She said, a lot of people write in asking if it's okay to ask a kinkier partner to meet them in the middle when it comes to sex. I think it is. You've done your level best to join your partner in his interest, but they don't do it for you. And in fact, serve as an active turnoff. You say the reason you've been together so long is that you two get along well, which does not sound like an emphatic expression of love and devotion to me. In addition to that lukewarm endorsement, you two are as wildly sexually mismatched as you seem to be, then I think there's a reason you're happy to call him your best friend, but so reluctant to call him your fiancé. Sexual compatibility is a hugely important part of marriage for most people. It's not shallow or judgmental if you acknowledge the two of you simply aren't well suited for each other. Says it may be that your boyfriend is so wild about you that he's willing to forego exploring his kinks most of the time. And if you two are genuinely able to reach a meaningful compromise that doesn't make either of you feel stiffed or guilty, then that's great. But your doubts are a good prompt to have a bigger conversation about your relationship. If your sexual ideals and his don't come close to matching up, you should probably part as friends now.
That was a very long way of saying what we just said.
Yeah. Next question. Dear Prudence, I'm in love with a prude. How do I spice up our sex life?
That's the other guy.
You guys should trade.
Yeah. That's what I think. Go out with this person, you go out with the other one.
Yeah. Let's do a switch swatch.
I don't know about Prudence's advice there. Ugh, God, now I'm so grossed out.
How do you function? How do you do stuff like...
God, I'm going to throw up. I really am.
Like, you eat each other's thing?
Can we stop with this, please?
Okay. In different news, a stunt driver died on the set of Deadpool 2.
I heard that. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Ryan Reynolds, right?
No, but it was, the stunt double for Ryan Reynolds.
Well, I bet it's hard to find a stunt double for Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, well, although it's
Deadpool.
Yeah,
as Deadpool. As Deadpool, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
Just put the mask on.
Right.
Are we still talking Deadpool, or are we talking sexual play?
Why? Do you have something else you want to add
to
this?
No, I don't.
What would you do if Teresa suddenly announced to you that she's into something really, really off-putting sexually?
Did you have to use pudding?
If you found out that she was into something that was not suitable to your pleasures, but it was suddenly really important to her.
Now, what are you talking?
Like maybe she wanted to strap one on and take you for
she's suddenly into like both of you should be bleeding during sex. Like she wants you guys to cut each other and then have sex. Like do you totally end the relationship at that point? Because you guys are engaged, you're about to be married. Like, you know, it's sort of at a point, you're almost at the point of no return here. What would you do?
I'd highly advise against cutting each other.
So if she said she was into scat, you would instantly be out of that, right?
I'm against scat play.
You would break up with her for that.
No, I would tell her I will not do scat play.
What if she said I can't live without that?
Well, you're going to have to.
It's a deal breaker for you then, you're saying.
Oh, I'm sure it's a deal breaker for you too.
Of course it is.
Yeah. I think any of us, it's a deal breaker.
But I also, if I found out that the woman I was going to marry was into that before I proposed to her, I would have never done it. Like, if you don't get to that, maybe you're with someone who's a total freak, right? And they're into some freaky stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
usually you don't start thinking about the long term, the big picture with them. Girls who are into some of that stuff, it's not the kind of girls you take home to mom. You know what I mean? But like once you do know they're into that stuff, and then they ask you to marry them, you just say, no, we're good. Let's just be friends.
Well, even now, if my wife came in and decided that that's something she wanted to do, I'd be like, nah, see you.
I'd be out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a female stunt driver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Domino, stunt driver. Mm. She crashed through the window of the Shaw Tower.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Okay. Hey, we're doing something on Facebook that if you want to go to Facebook, Jong has a question up. You get the answer, we'll randomly pull a winner. And on Saturday, August 26th, undefeated world champion Floyd Mayweather battles UFC superstar Conor McGregor in the most anticipated event of the year. To celebrate, how about this? We're giving away a pay-per-view prize pack. Get a $250 gift card to use toward purchase of the event, plus T-shirt, hat, and commemorative fight poster. Demand for this event will be unprecedented, so order your pay-per-view early, courtesy of Mayweather Promotions. So you just have to go to Facebook, answer the question, and someone at random will be picked at 6 o'clock. God, I wish I could win this because I'm going to be back.
Yeah, enter. And don't have poster to. Enter and hit like on the post.
Okay. Great. Chris says, dated a girl a long time ago that wanted to be choked, turn blue type stuff. I'm out, couldn't do it. Yeah, I'm with you on that, man.
I might be okay with that.
No, because I wouldn't be, but I just think...
That stuff will escalate, man.
Well, that's the thing.
Wait, does she want to choke you back?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be choked. And I don't want to turn in blue because what if it goes too far and then she dies and then you're a Law and Order episode.
And yeah. No, you're a gem of the day.
Or gem of the day, yeah. Special victims unit. That's what it is. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. School's about to start. They're going to have a whole bunch of new students and they're going to need your help. They take in kids who've dropped out of other schools. They give them another chance. And so many of them go on and do great things. A lot of these are really good kids that maybe they had travel problems getting to school. Maybe they couldn't read because they needed glasses. Well, Houston Can Academy gives them what they need. And so many of them go on and do great things. They graduate and they make us just a better community. And that's why more than ever, they need your donation. And by your donation, just a vehicle that's not running anymore. It could be a car, a truck, a motorcycle, an RV, a tractor, you name it. They'll come and tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. All you got to do is basically sign your name and your donation's tax deductible. And hundreds of Blitzers have done this. You can be the next one. Just it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Just get rid of it, donate it, and you're going to do a good thing. You're going to help out some kids, and you're going to feel good about yourself, and you get a tax deduction. And if you donate today, $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Chris said, no, he didn't want to choke back, just like being put on the edge of passing out. That's pretty much everything I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're into that, that's cool. But, I mean, I think when you get to stuff like that, you both have to be into it or else it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And it's cool, whatever. I mean, just because it's not for me. But, I dated some women that were beyond what I wanted to do. So, and then... AKA says, you guys hosting a Blitz Fantasy Football League this year? I'd love to be in.
Yeah, what's going on with fantasy football this year? Are we not doing anything?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, sounds like no.
Unless you want to put one together for listeners, but I don't know if you want to put time and energy into that.
I don't know about that because there was one year where I offered to put a league together for listeners, and I wound up having to manage 22 leagues. I'm not doing that. So, I mean, I don't know. We usually have a big event and everything, so I'll see if we can't get something going there. Because I do like to have a league with some of the listeners. That's always fun, but I don't want to do 22 of them. Mott says, I don't want a woman turning blue, but I'm totally into a green woman. I'm into a blue one if they come into it that way. I don't want them turning blue, but if they're actually blue aliens, I think that'd be kind of cool. Some women would not appreciate the fact that I like blue alien women, but I wouldn't care because I'd have a blue alien woman.
Right.
So that wouldn't affect the relationship at all. 713-780-ESPN. We'll do a couple Texans things here since we're coming up on Game of Thrones at 5:30. And if you have not seen it, you'll want to tune out at 5:30 and probably for a little while. I don't know how much time we'll spend on it, but we'll spend a lot.
Probably not as much as last week.
Yeah.
Compared to last week's episode?
Yeah. Well, we'll have some thoughts on that.
But that's compared to last week's episode.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson got some work with the first team. Not a lot. Doesn't really mean anything different because they're sold on Tom Savage, apparently, who's the next Tom Brady. But he did work with the ones and looked pretty good doing it. And something we've talked about before, Kareem Jackson getting some practice time at safety, which I have mixed feelings about. I think if you still had A.J. Boye on this team,
yeah,
I'd feel really good about that move. Now,
everyone's always said Kareem Jackson's better fit to be a safety. I think Kareem Jackson's best fit to be a nickel cornerback. And, I mean, the reality is the health situation for the Texans hasn't allowed him to really play the role that I think he's best suited for. And who knows if it will this year. I think, obviously, if Kareem Jackson's playing safety, your safety group is improved. But I think this cornerback depth issue is real. And I think besides Jonathan Joseph and Kevin Johnson, there aren't a lot of cornerbacks I'm going to feel real good about the Texans having on the field. So Kareem Jackson, to me, it needs to be a cornerback for now.
Kind of with you. I mean, basically, they have Nelson listed as the backup to Jonathan Joseph, which would make him.
I mean, listen, I'm, you know,
that guy's,
it could be an overreaction to what I've seen recently, but
well, you mean like his entire career?
Yeah.
Okay. But I think you can cobble together a safety group with Andre Hall and Corey Moore, and maybe KJ Dillon steps up, maybe Curtis Drummond, Eddie Pleasant, we've been hearing about forever. At some point, maybe he can play back there. I think you've got, you know, one of those guys could develop into that to a solid player for you. I don't know what you've got at cornerback beyond those three. Now, that's three pretty good ones. I'm okay with those three, but I don't trust any of these other cats. And you know damn well they're getting the ball thrown at them. And then who knows what Tristan DeKyle is going to be. I mean, that's a late-round pick. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, it's so funny to me that the Texans with this camp move, we're just not getting a lot of information out of them. I mean, I think this is kind of why they did it. Mario wants to know, does Raven from X-Men count as sexy alien chick? Yes. Yes.
She's blue.
Yeah. And she can change into stuff, too.
Yeah.
I like that. That's fun. Batman's ugly brother. What color does a blue alien change when you choke them? I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's a good question.
Given that thought.
That's a good question. Maybe red.
Don't choke an alien, though.
Yeah.
It's never going to go well for you.
No, because they probably are much more advanced than us and would probably snap your head off with their tentacles, which they're probably hiding under their human body, humanoid body. 713-780-ESPN. The other thing is they're also getting pretty thin at receiver.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other position that's a little bit of a concern now.
Even though they've drafted a lot of guys.
Yeah, well, obviously, with Will Fuller out, Jalen Strong is going to get a lot more action, and it's time for that guy to become a player if he's going to become one. Hopkins hasn't practiced since last week. He's on a pitch count. Braxton Miller's got a sprained ankle, so that's pretty much your top three right there, considering that you know, with Fuller out, it was Fuller, Hopkins, and Miller, and now you're down to some of Hopkins and Jalen Strong. So Jalen Strong's going to have to be a guy that picks it up. And that DeAndre White, who they picked up, is going on injured reserve. So they just keep adding guys down at the bottom of the roster because you need depth in the preseason, especially for these early games. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I guess the Rocket schedule has been released. Are you stoked?
You want to break it down game by game?
No, I don't.
Jerome had a tweet. He said they open at Golden State and close at Sacramento. He thinks they'll split. So
nice. Oh, that's cool that they're playing Golden State right out of the gate.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Santos asking, do you wrap it up or not with Blue Aliens?
You have to.
Yeah, because you don't know what's in there.
But also, will our earthly condoms protect us?
I don't know. I think I would have to. No, I'd have to use an alien condom.
I don't know where you get that.
Well, you get it from the alien.
And is like what's the brand that you trust in alien condoms? Like when I was a condom guy, I was a Trojan man.
Yeah.
Through and through. I wasn't going with Lifestyles or anything like that. So in high school, when they hand them out for free, you take what you got. You know what I mean? But once you start buying condoms, I was willing to throw out that extra dollar for that Trojan.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the brand to trust is in alien condoms.
Alpha Centauri ribbed.
Okay.
That's it. That's the one I'm going to use. AC ribbed. 713-780-ESPN is your number. All right. When we come back, we will be doing Game of Thrones. So if you haven't seen it, you don't want it spoiled for you, you'll want to tune out.
Take some time away from your radio. We hate to send you on your way, but we don't want to ruin life for you. And as we all know, Game of Thrones is life. All right, I got to tell you about Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's also life, as far as I'm concerned. Raising Cane's, listen, this is the good stuff. They've obviously got the great chicken fingers, the great quality, the great sides, all that. And while your kids are getting ready to go back to school, it's a great time to learn about that one love. Mom, Dad, you guys are busier than normal. Let Raising Cane's handle dinner for you. Back to school's in session. Lesson one, of course, the science of tenderloins. Lesson two, the art of marinating. Teach your taste buds a lesson where one love is always in session at Raising Cane's. Again, the food, the quality you're going to get, it's incomparable. These guys are using always fresh, never frozen chicken tenderloins that have been marinated for 24 hours. They're hand-breaded. This is and they're cooked to order. You know, they're not sitting under a light at any point. The cane sauce is out of this world. Homemade daily, not prepackaged. The crinkle-cut fries, that thick-cut Texas toast, they do everything right at Raising Cane's. So like I said, when your kids are headed back to school, you may need a break from cooking. Make it a Raising Cane's kind of night. Raising Cane's all over the city, guys. Raising Cane's, one love.
Event.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I thought Arya was dead. I thought Bran was dead.
I'm happy for you.
You don't look happy.
Bran saw the Night King and his army marching towards Eastwatch. If they make it past the wall...
The wall has kept them out for thousands of years, presumably.
I need to go home.
You said you don't have enough men.
We'll fight with the men we have. Unless you'll join us.
And give the country to Cersei. As soon as I march away, she marches in.
Perhaps not. Cersei thinks the army of the dead is nothing but a story, made up by wet nurses to frighten children. What if we prove her wrong?
I don't think she'll come see the dead at my invitation.
So bring the dead to her.
I thought that was what we were trying to avoid.
We don't have to bring the whole army.
Only one soldier.
Is that possible? The first white I ever saw was brought into Castle Black from beyond the wall. Bring one of these things down to King's Landing and show her the truth.
Anything you bring back will be useless unless Cersei grants us an audience and is somehow convinced not to murder us the moment we set foot in the capital.
The only person she listens to is Jaime. He might listen to me.
And how would you get into King's Landing?
I can smuggle you in, but if the Gold Cloaks were to recognize you, I'm warning you, I'm not a fighter.
Well, it'll all be for nothing if we don't have one of these dead men.
Fair point. How do you propose to find one?
With the Queen's permission, I'll go north and take one. You asked me to find a cure so I could serve you. Allow me to serve you.
The Free Folk will help us. They know the real North better than anyone.
They won't follow Ser Jorah.
They won't have to.
You can't lead a raid beyond the wall. You're not in the Night's Watch anymore. You're king in the North.
I'm the only one here who's fought them. I'm the only one here who knows them.
I haven't given you permission to leave.
With respect, Your Grace, I don't need your permission. I am a king. I came here knowing that you could have your men behead me or your dragons burn me alive. I put my trust in you, a stranger, because I knew it was the best chance for my people, for all our people. I'm asking you to trust in a stranger.
And we are back on the Blitz. Your thoughts first.
My thoughts were that this was a... I don't want to call it a filler episode, but it was sort of a setup episode for... I mean, clearly there's some big things about to happen. Like the Arya thing with Littlefinger's about to come to a head. And maybe Arya with Sansa. Which I'm kind of interested to see. But it obviously the going to try and capture one of the whites and bring it back to Cersei, which seems like I'm trying to picture how they're going to do that and not be unbelievable to me. Like make me just, I can't believe it was that easy or whatever they do. It's not like you can just put handcuffs on it, you know?
This is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And they got to stop listening to Tyrion. Tyrion does not know what the hell he's doing. Oh, go capture a white. I'm predicting right now that when they go up there to do this, not only are they going to lose some key guys.
That's good, though. I want someone to die.
Well, we need some deaths. But somehow this is going to allow the Night King to get past the wall, which last time I checked, he still couldn't do it.
Yeah.
All he's doing is marching around up there. I guarantee you they're going to do something that's going to allow. This is just a dumb plan.
Why can't the Night King get past the wall anyway?
Because it's got some kind of magic in it. And that's remember when Benjen said the dead can't. Pass. It's not just the wall. It's got some kind of magic carved into it.
The other thing that everyone seems so excited about is Gendry.
Gendry.
But what's the big deal with him? Like, why is everyone so excited about him? He seems like a guy who's got a hammer. Okay. Like, that's going to be some sort of savior? I don't know.
No, he's more of a blacksmith, so you're assuming that he's going to be forging weapons for the war.
Well, then why isn't he forging weapons for the war instead of ranging north of the wall?
Not sure.
He's never been.
That's what I'm saying.
Very strange to me. Nice hammer, though. And here's another thought. If you're going up there, did I miss it? Did they not put dragon glass on his hammer or on any of those other weapons?
No, the only thing that's made of dragon glass is Jon's sword.
Well, no, that's Valyrian steel.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Anything that can kill white is Jon's long claw.
Yeah, here's the problem for me is I think they spent so much time, especially in season 5, dragging out their storylines. And I think part of it was so that Martin could finish his book before we got to this point, that now they're having to condense everything. And it's moving so fast. It's like 1 minute they're at Dragonstone, the next minute they're already at Eastwatch. And then they start their little Expendables group, which I like the episode, but you know, I kind of felt like, yeah, you're right, it's sort of a setup. But
I guess just after last week, it felt like kind of a letdown.
A little bit. I'm going to go with you on that. And, of course, Jilly has the bombshell of the show.
She's the worst. That's my least favorite character in the show. Gilly. I hate her. I want them to do away with her. And I feel like Sam should just leave her and that baby behind.
Well, but now we did find out now, basically a confirmation that Rhaegar did get was in the middle of an annulment and
yes.
remarried Stark. And basically Jon is now the rightful heir. He has the most claim to the throne than anyone else.
Yeah.
Lyanna and Rhaegar were married and Rhaegar was the next in line. And by the way the show does things, Jon is the next in line after Rhaegar.
What's going on with the note Arya found? I didn't get that part. That was the one that Sansa sent.
Like, basically to saying Rob. That... No, that was the note that basically... Was it to Rob that basically
it
said...
It was to Rob.
Her loyalty lies with Joffrey now. And Arya's looking at it. And this is all Littlefinger knows what's happening. Like, he put it in a place where she would find it. Littlefinger's not dumb. He's like Arya. He's a sneaky little bastard. And he's been playing this game just a lot longer than Arya has. Yeah. So... he's showing her what he wants her to see. And he, as much as I dislike the dude, he's good at what he does. But I just want Arya to kill him. That's all I want to happen. But Arya is already kind of salty with Sansa about moving into her parents' bedroom and, you know, talking about letting the people smack talk Jon while she just sat there. Like, for whatever reason, Arya is sort of bitter towards Sansa.
She always has been, though.
Yeah, probably because she feels like Sansa's just sort of a useless being, which she kind of is.
So I have a theory on who killed Cersei, because remember the prophecy. Now, I don't think in the show they said it was going to be the Valonqar, which means little brother.
I thought they did say that.
But in the books, they certainly did. And so stay with me on this.
Okay.
Because everybody thinks it's going to be Jaime or Tyrion.
I've been thinking it's Jaime.
And then, you know, possibly Arya pretending to be Jaime is a possibility because she can look like whoever she
wants.
That's
true.
But what if the little brother were Bran? And stay with me on this. Bran wargs into her and slits her own throat.
Has Bran killed anybody?
Bran has to have a purpose, right? This gives Bran a purpose. And think about it, circles back to the very beginning of the show. What started the whole thing was him seeing her seeing them have brother-sister sex and getting thrown out the window. That might be his purpose of the whole thing. Kill Cersei. I don't think he can. I don't think he's going to be able to help against the Night King. Night King's got his number.
Well, I don't know what Bran's going to do. I don't know if Bran can do that. And let's also remember that Bran isn't...
Well, remember, he screwed up Hodor from years in the future.
Right, but he's not really even Bran anymore. So I don't know if he has any want or need to kill Cersei. Like, he just doesn't seem interested in things of that nature, politics.
That's his purpose. It's not really politics. Because you know damn well, this is why I still go back to this is a dumb plan. There's no way Cersei's going to agree to work with him. And if she does, she's going to probably pretend to work with him and then stab him all in the back because that's what she does. So,
you might be right.
I think Danny's starting to fall for Jon.
Oh, yeah.
You could
see
it when he said he's going back. You could see it in her eyes. Yeah, she goes, I'm not giving you permission. Did I give you permission to leave?
I mean, they're good-looking people. I mean, it's no shock. I mean, if I were her, I would want to do him.
And she almost
if I were him, I'd want to do her.
And she almost got a confirmation about him being stabbed in the chest because I think he was about to answer, and then Sir Jorah comes back.
Yeah.
And then with the whole Drogon thing, I don't think she's ever seen anybody like that with Drogon. So
it's gonna be some aunt and nephew sex happening.
Yep.
Gross, but kind
of very common.
Ooh, what if the little brother is the child she's carrying and she dies in childbirth? That's a good theory. Because technically
it's a brother.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. You got to worry a little bit about Dany going. Although, I had no problem with her flaming the Tarleys. At some point.
Kind of had to.
You had to make a statement, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of what Tyrion was saying to Varys at the end, or I guess around the end, was saying, what's she supposed to do? They wouldn't bend the knee. And if you want to be the queen, you got to make them bend the knee. And you notice after she burned them, everybody else bent the knee.
Well, I love the way that first she says it and like two of them do it. Then the dragon growls and about 10 more do. And then after she flames them, it's everybody. But yeah, I think at some point she got to quit listening to Tyrion. She probably should just be listening to Jorah. Things were going better for her when she had Jorah. What good advice has Tyrion given her about anything that has to do with tactics?
Yeah.
Because as you recall, she was gone, and they damn near lost Meereen because he made a deal with him, and then they went back on it and caught him off guard. And I'm just not really sure what the hell his role is here. He used to be – I think he's great at diplomacy, but he's not a wartime consigliere.
I just like him because he's funny.
Oh, and he's a little person.
Yeah, that helps.
So.
Damn sure doesn't hurt.
No. But, yeah, you're going to have some Targaryen incest sex again. Matt says Euron is going to raise some hell. Euron is, there's going to be something going on with him and Cersei. They've got some plan involving, I'm sure, this gold company. But Hefe says, I feel like Gendry's role is important because we know Valyrian still can't be forged by anyone. So. Well, it says your theory falls apart because Bran is not Bran. Bran is a three-eyed raven.
That's what I'm saying. So? I don't think Bran's looking to get into that kind of mess.
What's his purpose then? Other than to sit there and be creepy on a tree?
I mean, he doesn't have much purpose.
Well, why are they devoting so much time to him? He's got to have a purpose.
He's got magic powers.
He's got to have a key thing before he gets killed on the damn tree again, like he did in that cave. That was him. That was old Bran, or old three-eyed raven, same guy. They've dropped a bunch of hints on that now. I'm telling you, this is gonna play out. So what would be more gross? Aunt and nephew sex? Not knowing? Or Jon Snow hooking up with Sansa Stark, having grown up together, not related as much?
Like grew up as brother and sister?
Yeah, grew up as brother and sister. Well, they're related, but not, they'd be like cousins, right? What would be more gross for you?
God, everybody's related.
That's the thing.
Well, this show is like based around incest. Like the Targaryens married each other, and the Lannisters are doing each other. It's kind of based around incest a little bit. So I guess it wouldn't be too weird. So I think the weirdest thing would be Sansa and Jon, because they actually knew each other and grew up.
What about Arya and Jon?
Oh, that'd be worse. Oh, I think that'd be worse. Because I think Arya and Jon are really close.
Well, I think when it's all said and done, either Jon or Dany is dead.
Yeah,
I don't think there's
one. There's no way that they let them both live.
Yeah. I think Jon dies.
Is that your bet?
Yeah,
that's probably mine too. If I had to pick one of them,
yeah, I guess I'd have to make him the favorite.
Yeah, I think we're going to lose a couple of big characters next week,
you think?
Or this coming up episode.
All right. Care to put an over-under?
Of the seven that went out, I'm going to say two of them die.
Okay. I'll take the under.
Okay.
I'll take the under, and I would also say that somebody will rescue him at the last minute, because that's what happens in every one of these things.
I don't know. I think Beric Dondarrion gives his life up for the rest of them to flee. Because you can only come back a certain number of times before you're not even that person anymore. So I think he's almost at that limit.
Yeah, he's come back so many times.
Yeah, he's not even himself anymore. So,
All right, let's go to my man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Aubrey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. Y'all brushing up on your
just talking Game some of Thrones, Thrones 101, that's all. Huh? Yep, just talking Little Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, from the very get-go, at our start, you just knew that. Yeah, from all movies you've been watching, how like you knew that somebody's going to jump in and save him, it didn't work.
That's what I like.
So
about
from the
that
very
show.
Beginning, the very beginning, they got no gumption of whacking out the most important people.
Yep.
So we can get after the most important stains in your home, friends. I mean, why do it yourself? Pick up. That's what I did the other day. I went and did kind of like a laundry list check of every little dime store and whatnot store and box this and de-box that. And I checked on the chemical labels for their upholstery cleaners. And the largest warning is don't come in contact with your skin. Now, I did not find an upholstery cleaner that did not say that. So out of the six upholstery cleaners, every one of them said, don't let it touch your skin.
Because it's filled with chemicals.
And I thought, this upholstery cleaner, okay. I mean, y'all are making money like this because we can't at Dirt Free. When you pick up the phone, dial 281-DIRT-FREE, dirtfreecarpet.com. We come out with something that can touch your skin. I can pre-spot. I can wash my children's clothing with it. I can wash my baby's diapers with it. This is the safest product in the world. You put it on the carpet, put the carpet rake down, and you start to see the stains level. You drop a $100,000 machine on it. It's a complete system. No soap, chemical residues of tap water. Carpet tile grout, leather drapes, upholstery, wool rugs. We are the one-stop renew shop. 281-DIRT-FREE, $100 free speed dry on the three-room, $100 special. But if you need it, tile, grout, marble, stone, something, you know, tough done, one of the other jobs, we'll give you a free room of carpet cleaning. So be one of the first 15 callers, say, 281-DIRT-FREE.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free Carpet. Appreciate you, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Some breaking news. McCann to the 10-day DL.
Yeah, Max Stassi called up now. So it looks like Juan Centeno will be the, at least until McCann or Gattis gets back, Centeno will be the primary catcher and Max Stassi will be the backup. But Clippard in uniform tonight, so he'll be there.
That'll help. So did you guys think it was BS how Jamie and Bron washed up ashore miles away from the battlefield? Yeah, we didn't get to that, but I thought that was a really cheesy...
After all we talked about it last week, that's the...
Well, and it just goes to show that anybody who thought Jamie was dead is... I mean, come on.
Jamie still has... I still thought Jamie had to kill Cersei, so I'm not... You don't think Cersei's really pregnant, do you?
No,
she's trying to play
faking.
Him.
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to... Lamont was asking, do you think Tyrion established a line of communication with Bronn? Yeah, and I think all that happened so fast that it just seems sped up and forced right now at times. And let's see, 979 says, Fred, you spoiler reading SOB, trying to pass those off as your own guesses. I quit reading the spoilers after I saw the fourth episode was pretty much spot on, so I haven't done any of the ones for the rest of the year. Kind of makes sense. I mean, brand theory is mine.
I don't like to read spoilers
and
ever.
There's obviously going to be a battle. Every single battle that they have shown, somebody's come in at the last minute. That's just a fact. Season, going back to the Battle of the Blackwater. What happened? Tyrell show up at the last minute.
True.
The only one that didn't was when the Night King won.
Yeah.
But what happened? Battle of the Bastards. What happens? Here come the Knights of the Vale. Save the day at the last minute. This battle, here comes Bronn. Saves Jaime at the last minute. You think they're going to change now?
You think Danny comes and grabs him?
No, I think I would think.
Because there's nobody
no,
else.
No, there's no way. I wouldn't think.
I mean, who else is out there?
Mm.
The Night's Watch?
There's not enough of them.
Yeah.
Maybe the Night King rescues them. Maybe they become friends.
They did look very terrified in the trailer when they were running away from him.
I don't know. But somebody has to. Quick break. It's a Blitz at ESPN 975. In my coat before I go.
You're listening to ESPN 975.
Hey, folks.